The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. That's Kelly Billen over there, ladies and gentlemen. Right alongside. How you doing?
Doing great. How about you?
I was asking the people, but yeah, you're good?
Well, they can't answer you. I can answer you.
That's very true. You speak on behalf of
everybody
them.
Yell back into your car how you're doing.
I would hope people would. What do you think? I'm just talking at the air here? Talking in the wind? Wes Reynolds on the show today, co-host of the Long Shots. You heard of Long Shots, Kelly?
I've heard about
good
it.
Good golf
yeah.
podcast. You should really try to get on there sometimes. Jake Hahn talking hockey with us. Paul Sporer, Major League Baseball. Carl Sack going to join us this morning. Talk basketball as well. The National Basketball Association. We will do bitter MLB May most wins update. That's not a pretty update coming up. And maybe we'll even sneak in some French Open futures if we have some time as well. Let us start with just the weekend in general, which I don't know how you feel, but I feel like we crashed into summer this weekend. Like, I feel like we went from all this kind of activity is happening. This usually happens when you get to the conference semifinals in both the NBA and the NHL. But I feel like the nature of the games this weekend just drove it home even further, like into the sports netherworld depression. Mm. And yes, we will have the French Open in tennis and we'll have the U.S. Open in golf. But you get it. It's the sort of lull in the sports calendar storm that comes to us at this time of year. But it was the nature of the games this weekend, right? It was the game six between the Celtics and the Knicks. If gambling didn't exist, if sports betting didn't exist, virtually nothing was watchable this weekend, right? Knicks crushed the Celtics. Congratulations to those who had Knicks futures, right? Or Knicks series bets, I should say, in that series. Knicks beat the Tatum-less Celtics. They do so in a game where they led by 27 at the half, 35 after three, led by as many as 41. And the final score was a 38-point margin. The other NBA game yesterday, Game 7, I know it was a good outcome for you and your OKC futures. OKC, after trailing early to the Nuggets by 11, 21-10, that was the high water mark for the Nuggets, because after that, it was a 19-5 run for OKC. They took the lead. They ended up extending the lead to 14 by the half. They ended up leading by 25 after three. They'd lead by as many as 43 in a 32-point win in the end, because the Nuggets scored the last, 9 points of the game or something like that.
Just crazy how many of those games in that series, that end of the second quarter ended up mattering so much.
Yeah,
like that
flurries.
Just flurries.
Ray Leonard against Marvin Hagler. That's what it was. So those two games, virtually unwatchable. We have our conference semifinal set. We'll talk about that in moments. The hockey game last night, game seven between the Leafs and the Panthers. My God, Leafs fans. We'll talk to Jake about this later.
Sorry.
Oh,
it's rough.
They were up 2-0 in this series, and we forget they were up 3-1. The score was 3-1 in game three. Yeah. Toronto was up. And the Leafs, once again, failed to make the conference finals. They haven't been to a conference final since 2002. Haven't won the cup famously since 67, but they haven't been to a conference final since 2002. And Austin Matthews calling teammates passengers yesterday. Oh, that's brutal.
Passengers?
Brutal.
What does that mean? I didn't catch that.
That means too many. He said too many of his teammates were passengers.
Like, he's the captain leading the ship?
Well, basically that they were just standers by. That is a brutal.
That's about as brutal of a line as you can draw.
And they end up losing 6-1 yesterday. That game was kind of unwatchable after the Panthers took the 3-0 lead. You thought for a moment there in the third period when Domi scored 3-1, maybe this is something. That was quickly snuffed out. The PGA Championship yesterday also kind of ended up being unwatchable down the stretch. Though there was a moment yesterday in round four, I thought it was just going to be a walk in the park all day, a walk on the course, literally. Just a long walk for Scottie Scheffler, but it got dicey there in the middle when John Rahm caught him. They were tied, and then that stretch of holes, well, Rahm, I'll get the holes wrong, but Rahm, remember that long putt that he lipped out where you're like, oh my God, people were like, Rahm's winning this.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Jason who tweeted out, John Rahm is winning this tournament, right? As he tweeted that, it all went to hell for Rahm. So he lipped out that long putt. I want to say that was on 12. Don't hold me to that. Or maybe 13. But then remember, there was two straight holes after. It's almost like that unraveled him. because the next two holes he had horrific putts. Horrific putts. Yeah, and then it just got terrible from there, even worse from there.
Yeah, what was it? Three or four straight where he had birdie or par looks that needed to go. Looked like he had good looks. I mean, he pars the par 5-15th where he got a birdie there, and then it's bogey 16, double on 17, double on 18, tournament's over.
Yeah, he ended up seven back. Scheffler ends up winning the PGA Championship at Quail Hollow, the second major of the year. He ends up winning his third of his career. Remember, he won the two green jackets, and now he's won a PGA Championship. He ends up winning about five strokes over Harris English, Bryson DeChambeau, and Davis Riley. The three of them finish at a tie for second. So, and Scheffler, by the way, was some rare emotion after that.
Yeah.
Where he was just going nuts.
I think a little bit of that goes back to Thursday, Kiel. I think this was a wild tournament. Like, it did get boring, but like at the end, right? And I think a lot of us probably thought heading into Sunday, the entirety of Sunday could be boring with a three shot lead for Scottie Scheffler. Like, hats off to John Rahm for even making interesting, right?
Like, that was one of those moments in the middle of the day where I was like, oh, I probably should really start locking into this.
Yeah. Like, it got way tighter. I mean, you had DeChambeau in the mix on Saturday. At one point, he had a one-shot lead on Saturday. It looked like he was going to be there, but he fell off. But, Scheffler was one of the guys that was very outspoken about lift, clean, and place rules not being utilized on Thursday and how mud balls were affecting his game as much as they did on Thursday. We had a wild leaderboard after the first round, and we saw that kind of just slowly get corrected as the rounds went on. And, it ends up being the big dogs that were there at the end.
Yeah, and there it is. Justin Ray Golf always tweeting great things about golf. Justin Ray, 15 PGA Tour wins now for Scotty, including three majors before the age of 29. Since World War II, the only three names that have accomplished that, the only three people, Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, Scottie Scheffler.
Every time I see 29 for his age still, he's like he's the oldest looking and acting 29-year-old on the face of the earth.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right.
More acting than looking. He doesn't even look that old, but like, what does he look? Mid-30s, but he acts like he's 48 years old.
I'm trying to think about this. 15 PGA Tour wins, including three majors before the age of 29. It's only Jack, Tiger, and Scotty. Am I surprised by that? I guess the 15 Tour wins is the thing.
That's actually the more impressive thing.
Yeah.
Because we've seen, I think, good examples, right, of Spieth, Rory, Scheffler, like we've seen guys that get on heaters over a few years, right, and pick up a couple major wins. This is like, I'm not trying to diminish a major win, but it is like 15 wins on the PGA Tour. It's hard to rack up in your 20s.
But you understand my point, though. So between the final round of the PGA, Game 7 in hockey last night, the two basketball games, the most awesome sporting event of the weekend was the Preakness.
Yeah, it was.
That was an unbelievable run by journalism down the stretch. That was incredible.
I was sitting in a race book watching it, and they didn't have the audio on. So I was sitting there, I'm like, who won? Like, for like 2 minutes after, I'm like, who won?
It was incredible.
And it was the track feed, so not the NBC feed. So like NBC, I'm sure the cameras were in on journalism right away. I'm like, I'm watching the track feed. I'm like, I have no idea who won this race.
Yeah. Even with the track announcer, he was so ho-hum about it at the end. Like, journalism, journalism wins. I was like, did he? I guess he did. Yeah.
Because you probably don't want to go all in if you're not sure, right?
Well, there was always was there a bumping issue? Was there some interference issue? That was an incredible run.
I thought he was toast with that. When he got, like, boxed in by those two horses, I was like, well, he's not going to get there.
This is, though, from a betting standpoint, if I may just vent for a second, this stretch of time. And by the way, doing great in these contests, both Spankies and baseball and the NBA Challenge. But here's the story of my life these days. I had Scotty for low round on the second round on Friday. He didn't win that. Didn't bet him on Saturday, low round, third round. He did win that. Baseball famously had the Mets race to 10, didn't win that. They won March, April. Didn't happen then. Had the Twins March, April. They didn't win that. They're leading May. What's another? Oh, the other one. What's the other one I'm talking about? Oh, and then there's journalism, right? Journalism. All these other horse races, I always bet just one horse to win it, right?
Yep.
This is the one where I decided not only am I going to do that, I'm also going to bet an exactness. So I just like gave the money back, on that.
Well, at least you bet it. I didn't even bet it to win.
But still, what's the difference?
I had four different trifectas and all that stuff going, and nope.
So I am either, how can I put this, ahead of my time, if you want to spin it beautifully in all these sports, or just an idiot.
I don't know what we call this, but everybody who bets regularly gets into that groove.
This is a pretty strong groove of them across multiple sports. It's like, I just can't get the timing
because it's the part you just brought up. That's always the difficult mental part, right? Where you're like, I can't, am I ahead of things? Am I behind things? What is going on here?
All right. And then explain one thing. We'll get to your thoughts on these lines here in these basketball games, but explain one other thing to me. Why is it that both in the NBA and the NHL, the team that played last that is still alive, so OKC in the NBA and the Florida Panthers, you know where I'm going with this, and the Florida Panthers in the NHL are both playing first.
I have no idea, Gil. And especially, it's not even just first. It's 2 days after they just completed a series.
Where the teams that have been resting get to rest even more.
Because
they don't have conference semifinals stuck in dates like they do with the finals. So I don't know.
Conference semis or conference finals dates?
No, I'm talking, they don't have conference finals dates set the same way as they do the league finals.
Correct. I'm assuming it has something to do with the networks. I'm assuming it's that, but I don't know.
Oh, that sounds kind of shafty, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I was thinking that already about the Thunder as I'm like doing some prep work yesterday on the NBA, but then that hockey game finishes. I'm like, hockey too? Are you serious?
I thought the same thing. I was like, what are we doing? All right, we'll get our thoughts on game ones in both of the NBA games. OKC installed as a 7.5-point favorite against the T-Wolves. Knicks installed as a 4-point favorite. We'll look at series lines as well. And again, hockey with Jake Hahn, Carl Sack on the NBA. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Smarter bets start here and last all year with VSiN Pro. That's smarter bets. And who doesn't want to make smarter bets? Right now, sign up on an annual subscription, get 14 months for just $199 when you use promo code PRO. That's 2 extra months free for less than 50 cents a day. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get instant access to a daily email with all the best bets from hosts and their guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus full access to VSiN.com's analytics, betting trends, and expert breakdowns. Don't wait. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use promo code PRO to lock in this offer. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Kelly, not only do we have the best listeners in the game, but you know what they do so well? I will inevitably come in here and I'll have like 50 things that I want to talk about. But if I don't write them all down, inevitably there's going to be a good percentage of them, like little just note stuff that I thought about. Well, I'll forget to mention, and then like 5 days later, like, oh, you know what I forgot to mention?
You Krakenberged it.
Yes, exactly. I Krakenberged it.
I didn't even Krakenbergered it.
Yes. But folks do such a great job of filling in those blanks. Matthew Mayberry, John Rahm couldn't cash my massive tickets I had on him in play, he says, but he did allow Scotty to drop as low as -160. Hope everyone was able to take advantage of that. Okay, Matthew, this triggers something that Kelly and I were texting about this weekend. Books did I want to use the right adjective. I'm just going to go with what first popped in my head. A spectacular job of making Scheffler largely unbettable for the entire 4 days. Agree?
Yeah.
There were so many times I wanted to get in on him where I'm like, yeah, that's the price.
It's become more of a Scheffler betting thing, period.
Yes.
But majors, I think it applies even more at. But the whole attitude of, because we've said it on Long Shots a million times. I've said it on this show a million times. You've probably heard a bunch of other people talk about golf betting and say this too. Well, wait and see if you can get in on Scheffler live at a good moment.
Yeah.
I think I checked about 6 times throughout the tournament, Friday and Saturday, or Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It was so price prohibitive every time I couldn't get in.
Price prohibitive. Well said. Also, it's not just Vegas books. It's not just legalized books. Bookmaker, right, which used to be, it's one of the pillars of offshore, right? Chris, Bet Chris, a bookmaker. They had a Scheffler versus the field prop that was up all day yesterday, grayed out the entire day. Grayed, meaning G-R-A-Y. Grayed out, meaning it was locked, unbettable.
Yeah, like at
and
your
the whole
book,
time you're like,
the...
refresh. When is this going to happen? Refresh. Never. Never bettable. And this is, contrast this to the Rory Masters experience where I did get in on him, right, and made a lot of money. But it was like this was there was rarely an opportunity. So, Matthew, in retrospect, when you say minus 160, I didn't even see the minus 160. It wasn't available to me where I was looking yesterday. And even if I did see it, was it fleeting? Was I able to – would I have played it? I don't know that I would have.
I don't know that I would have been running to bet that even then. Because what? It's when they – probably when they were tied yesterday, right? But then it's like at that point, Scheffler's game was looking a little shaky.
Yeah.
So I don't even know if I would have done it. But then, you know, Rom, I brought it up Wednesday when we were talking about this. I'm glad I at least said it on this show and then on Long Shots as well. Rom was always the guy all week long that, like, it was nobody was talking about. The top of the board was getting heavily bet. Scheffler, Rory, DeChambeau, it was getting bet. We all thought it was going to be kind of one of, a lot of us with golf bettors thought it was going to be one of the big guys that went out and won this thing. But Rom was the one I never heard anybody mention, yet he never drifted. The books wouldn't let him get out to like 20-1. And I think those are always things that you can kind of read into of like, all right, who do the books, who are the odds makers like in these situations? And I think they were a little higher on Rom than most bettors.
Jonathan Call. The only event worth watching this weekend was the incredible performance by Journalism in the Preakness. Amazing. Yeah, I totally agree. It's incredible. Kevin Ryan, Gil, you are correct. The sports were a bit of a buzzkill, but I have to say the Rolex commercial showing Tiger from a youth to his winning the 2019 Masters was epic. Arguably one of the best of all time. I loved that commercial.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It was so good.
Golf tournaments just flex on you so much with the commercials where it's like, hey, would you like a Rolex, private
literally,
jet? Like,
I literally almost texted you after that going, I think I want to buy a Rolex.
That's great.
Wet Willie Cologne. Don't forget Carlitos taking out that cheater Sinner in straight sets was also unwatchable. Yes, as James Sott then says, not just basketball, hockey, golf was a letdown, but so was the Rome Finals. Coco was awful, and I was pretty hyped about Sinner versus Carlitos, but Carlitos took him apart like a surgeon, and that was basically a blowout. At least I hit Carlos to win Rome. Good for you. I had Sinner in the final, had tons of CLV. Nope. Got beat in the first set tiebreaker, and then he got rolled in the second set. Now, part of that was Sinner you can sort of write off as, well, that was his first tournament back. The fact that he even got to the finals, you know, you can sort of write that off and be like, well, that was incredible alone. But you're right about Coco. Coco, I don't want to say this out loud, but I'm about to say it out loud because I texted this to the group chain this weekend. She's about a year or so away from the murmurs of disappointment starting to creep in because she's won one slam, which was awesome. I was weeping when she won at the U.S. Open. One slam, one 1,000, and one WTA final. She's only 21, so there's plenty of time.
Right, yeah.
But about a year or two from now, if that's all she's done, Game Time Jones. When Rom made the putt to tie it at 9 under, DK had Scheffler minus 140. Yeah, well, we don't have DK over here. Sorry. Mandy Davison. Does Jake have any thoughts on where Mitch Marner is headed July 1st? Heard Kelly is looking for a roommate. They're going to break up the Leafs for sure. I alluded to this earlier. This is the May most wins update. The Twins continue to troll. 13-3. Their long winning streak was finally busted up by the Brewers yesterday, but the Twins remain the winningest team in May thus far. They're 13-3, followed closely by the Tigers and Cardinals, who are both 12-4. Phillies 11-5. Cubbies 10 wins, 10-6. Braves and Royals 10-7. Yankees, Giants, Rangers with 9 wins. The Padres lead the 8-win group. The Padres this weekend, talk about disappointment. We went into the weekend thinking, all right, let's go. Let's make up a couple games. We're good. Padres get swept by the Mariners. Padres this weekend against the Mariners.
Oh, man.
You ready for this, this stat here? 0-21 with runners in scoring position, 22 left on base. 0-21 with runners in scoring position.
Brutal.
So, and I watched every pitch of the first two of those. I couldn't bear to watch yesterday. But it's like, I don't know what the most frustrating thing is in sports betting. Bad beats obviously leap to mind. But in the non-bad beats category, backing a baseball offense that can never come through is about as frustrating as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
And they just could. It's like every time they got someone right, you're like this. So the Padres, we're 8-7. For the Padres to win May, you kind of have to go 11-0 at this point.
Yeah.
And then hope. That would get you to 19 and that would get you to 19-7. But again, you'd have to sweep the Jays. Okay. Braves, not likely. And then you do have 5 easy games at the end with the Marlins and the Pirates. So anyway, the problem with the Padres is as soon as they got all their players back, right? They got Merrill back. They got Cronenworth back. They got Lockridge back. Arias before that. Full strength offense. Right as that happened, their bullpen went from being awesome to terrible. All of a sudden, the bullpen was just giving up everything. Mike Schilt, when not taking out Suarez after three consecutive walks, waited until four in that one game. He's taking out starting pitchers too early the other day. And then the offense. Like this offense that is at full strength just not being able to come through. And it's baseball. And it happens. And it's happening to us. It's not fun. It's really not fun at all.
So are you a big Tigers and Cardinals fan right now?
For this market right now?
Yeah.
I think the Cubs schedule is still the one that you would have to seize on. Remember when we went through, we settled on the Padres, there were four other teams that I considered. And those were the Phillies, the Cubs, the Giants, and who was the fourth?
Tigers. I was going to say, I thought the Tigers.
Yeah, the Tigers. So the Tigers would be the one that I would lament the most. But you know who I didn't
consider? You're like the Cardinal. You're like a Cardinals fan then if this comes down the stretch.
I'm a Cardinals fan. I mean, the other one I would say is the Twins I never considered either. But the Twins would just be, oh, look, I just got them a month
this
early.
This is why I brought that up. It's you want anybody else but the Twins to win this.
Oh, I don't. At this point, it's like, come on. Really? The Twins are it's such a troll. I had tweets from people in March, April. One guy was like, oh, you ended up picking the team with the least, the fewest, right? They thought it was going to end up with the fewest ones. Well, yeah, this is why I picked the Twins, dude. But yeah, it has not been schedule conforming thus far in the first couple months of the season. Used to be last year. Wasn't this year. So that's where that stands. Let's get to the NBA real quick, though. I want to see if you have any, before we get to Carl's thoughts on this after the break. So OKC favored by 7.5, total 216 in game one against the T-Wolves. Knicks favored by 4, total 223.5, game one in that series.
Yeah, first I'll go series first because I think the series prices are pretty much dead on where I expected them. I haven't made a play in the Pacers on the Pacers yet, Gil. We talked a little bit about this last week. I think I might dabble in that series market, take some of the Pacers.
Plus 140, I'm saying.
Yeah, I just don't think there's any rush. If you're interested in the Pacers, we keep seeing it just slightly tick the New York way. So I'm not in any rush. I'm not going to go bet that crazy right now. And then the other one I think is priced pretty correctly with the Thunder and the Timberwolves, where that's at. What I did do, because of the quick turnaround, I think 7.5 is pretty generous for Minnesota in game one. So I did take some Minnesota game one plus 7.5. And then I also bet over 5.5 games in that series. I think that this...
OKC Minnesota.
Yeah, lean Thunder. I think they probably get it done, but I think it's in a long series.
Yeah, series price on OKC minus 345. T-Wolves plus 280 on the comeback. Minus 160 on the Knicks in the series. Plus 140 on the Pacers. Carl Sachs thoughts and bets next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Check out the sharp plays, unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, alerts directly from the pros. We invite you to take a look at it. Sharpplays.com. Sharpplays.com. Skill Alexander, Kelly Billen alongside. We get tweets at beating the book. LFC title records. I got in on Scotty early Saturday at roughly plus 120 through Kalshi. Great alternative when you live in Minnesota.
Yeah.
ProfitX, all the exchanges. Good alternative.
What do we have available to us? Like, isn't Kalshi and Pauly, aren't they open to us now?
I don't know.
I got to start playing around with that stuff more.
Yeah.
That's a great price.
Chance Copperpot. This is for you, Kelly Bidley. He says, I typically pick three outrights, but I've also been betting Scotty T5 and winner as kind of a hedge, so I broke even on the championship. Am I doing it wrong?
Yes and no. I mean, just look long term. What odds are for Scottie Scheffler in golf tournaments? If you bet him every single week, like you're going to be down money. But I understand in these big time spots wanting to do that.
I mentioned Scottie Scheffler won by 5 over English, DeChambeau, and Riley. He won by 6 strokes over a group of golfers that included JT Poston. Would you like to tell your JT Poston story, Kelly? Before we get to Carl,
real quick version. So after. This was like the same season that he got his first win, which was 2019. So this was like 5 years ago, right? Maybe a year after this. And my mom and stepdad are out on a golfing trip, okay? And I think the story goes she's at the bar or something. My stepdad's like doing something in the pro shop or whatever. She's getting a drink at the bar. And this guy comes up to her and they start talking. And he slightly throws in there, Gil, just real smooth like that he's JT's dad because the golf's on the TV. And of course, my mom, like any person who knows golf, thinks he's talking about Justin Thomas. And I'm like, no, it's JT Poston's dad that like that she runs into. And they start chatting. So it's always a fun make fun of my mom moment whenever I see JT Poston up there.
Well, why is it a make fun of your mom moment?
Because it's a guy in a bar. Come on, like, it was clearly hitting on my mom.
Okay,
like,
there you go. Why. That's what I was trying to get at.
On my mom.
That's what I was trying to get at.
It was just hilarious. She like texts me afterwards. She's like, you know who JT Poston is? I'm like, yeah.
JT Poston's dad liked himself some Mrs. Biddlin.
I just remember the I'm thinking it's Justin Thomas like for the whole time. Like, yeah, of course, because anybody would.
Like, in a way, like, oh, I'd have considered that. Carl Sack joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line to talk some NBA with us. You can follow him at Killer Sports and KillerCappers.com. Joining us from just outside of Denver, Colorado. How you doing, Carl? What's happening, man?
Good morning, Gil.
Good morning. Kelly Biddle alongside too. You can say good morning. I'm my little buddy Kelly Biddle here.
Hey, girl.
Hey.
Yeah. No, I was listening to your guys a little bit earlier, and hearing Kelly's take on the Minnesota Oklahoma series game one.
All right. So let's start there. What's your take on that with OKC favorite again by 7.5, and now of course not only now but they have been, but remain the short shot to win the NBA championship.
I agree with Kelly in terms of game one. I make the line 7 for OKC, but I think that there's certainly the rest disadvantage. And then, you know, you've got OKC coming off of such an emotional game to save their season, essentially. I think that there's got to be a little bit of a letdown. And so I would look towards Minnesota here, whether it's +7.5 or maybe plus, you know, first half line, something like that. I would expect them to come out a little bit slow.
We expect them to come out a little bit slow. But if you look at the series as a whole, -330 on OKC is about right to you?
I mean, it's tough. I Oklahoma City's kind of shown their – the series is supposed to go every other day. So I think that that will favor Oklahoma City's depth. I think it's probably about right. I don't think I'd touch the series line at this point. I'd just get involved on a game-to-game basis.
All right.
I mean, Carl, it is a reaction, though, this price to what we saw this last series, right? Because when we got – the closing series price for Denver, Oklahoma City was almost double this on the Oklahoma City side.
I think we're seeing that Oklahoma City does have some cracks, that they're not the ideal playoff team, and that they're not top heavy. And that's typically what you want from a playoff team. They've got great depth, and that's going to help them on, you know, shorter rest games. But and if they have any injuries, they're going to be able to withstand them a heck of a lot better than Minnesota. You know, Minnesota loses Edwards or Randall or something like that, it's going to really be a game changer.
Is it? We were talking a little bit about this off air. Kelly was saying, you know, Ant is going to be asked to do what Jokic was asked to do in the previous series, which is basically to facilitate all and to be the guy in so many ways. Realistic over a best of seven series, in your opinion? Could it manifest in a way that Minnesota gets this done?
I think Minnesota could do it. Yeah, I don't know that Ant's going to have Joker type numbers, but I also think that Minnesota's got they're more talented than Denver in the sense that, you know, Denver was banged up. Porter was playing, you know, without a shoulder the whole series. Gordon in the last game. Murray the last couple of games. As far as I know, Minnesota's 100%. So I think that they can spread the ball around a little bit more than Denver did.
All right, Knicks are -160 favorites against the Pacers. Best of seven Eastern Conference Final Series. We'll be inundated with the Reggie Miller clips all week long. That's for sure. Game one spread, -4. Knicks favored by 4 here. Total 223.5. Does the series and the game price seem about right to you there?
Similar to Kelly, I'm mildly interested in Indiana in this series, but probably will hold off and see if I can get a better price. I don't feel comfortable going in on them at this point, but it would be them or pass. I think maybe the way to go, at least in game one, is to look under the total. These teams haven't played in a while, you know, 5 days, whatever it is, 4 or 5 days. And I think that there's going to be a little bit of feeling each other out, a little bit of rust early on. So I would lean under the total in this first game.
All right. So under the total in the first game. So let me speak on behalf of the three of us. Right. You guys watched way more regular season NBA than I did. And I watched my share of NBA. So I'm going to speak on behalf of the non-NBA hardo who has contended now for years that the NBA, the difference between the regular season and the playoffs is such that it almost affects handicappers poorly who are too close to the sun on this sport. And I'm going to sit here and say my opinion is that this Pacers-Knicks series line makes no sense to me whatsoever and that I would bet the Pacers. Like, to me, there is nothing that we've seen that would establish the Knicks as any kind of favorite. Now, I get it. They were the higher seed. They do have home court. They've got a New York bump in markets, I'm sure. They're the larger market team. I think that's actually probably in there and to some degree. But based on what we've seen on the basketball court, I don't really get this at all. And I would bet the Pacers here pre-flop at this number because I don't want the train to leave the station in game one.
I do have Indiana rated on a neutral court. I do have Indiana rated as the better team, not by much. So I do think that home court certainly plays into this. Indiana's look great, but they've also, you know, Milwaukee was really banged up. Obviously Lillard was not healthy for that series. And I think that the Cleveland team was a lot more banged up than people thought they were. They had, I think it was game two where they had like three starters out. And then, Garland was banged up. I think Merrill missed game seven. Mobley was playing with an ankle injury. I think even though Mitchell only missed, I want to say, the second half of game four, he was playing banged up. It was like their whole team it was really unfortunate because they were healthy in the first round, basically minus Garland's toe. And then, Indiana's good, but I do think that that they looked a little bit better than they probably are.
Point well taken. I'll concede that. I do think that their pace, right, the pace that they play at, like OKC would trump that. Tremendously.
Maybe the most fascinating part of this series to me, Carl, is the pace, because you're talking about a Pacers high pace team versus this Knicks team that just wants to slow everything down. I think that's going to really be interesting to watch and who wins that battle.
Go ahead.
And I think that Indiana is going to have a little bit more depth in this series, and with it being an every other day type thing, I wouldn't be surprised if we see something similar where maybe not quite to the extreme, but, you know, Oklahoma City really ran Denver tired because Denver was only going six deep. And I think that New York might have some of the same issues with Indy over once we get to game 4, 5, 6.
Carl, appreciate it. And thanks again for the VSiN Killer Sports NBA Challenge. We're all having a ball with it. We'll update those standings on the other side.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Carl Sack, everybody. KillerSports.com. KillerCappers.com. We'll come back. We'll look at those standings in that contest on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Take your betting to a whole nother level with First Bet. Whether it's Santa Anita, Gulfstream Park, or Saratoga Racecourse, First Bet puts the action at your fingertips. Sign up now at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. And use promo code VSIN200 to score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. Don't miss out. Bet smarter today at firstbet.com. Skill Alexander, Kelly Billet alongside. Let's talk a little baseball beyond May wins with our buddy Paul Sporer from Fangraphs.
Maybe in a minute
we can talk about that. In the meantime, then, can I give you a documentary recommendation since we have a minute?
Sure. I only answer that way because there's so many, like, you know, when someone's like, hey, have you seen this show? And it's like, I mean, I've heard of it, but it's like on my list of 900 shows to catch up on. There's too many good things on these streaming services.
What list do you consult more? Your document, your shows to watch, or your bets I need to make list?
This is a great question. I also I feel like most people have a running grocery list too, yeah, right? Yeah. Like that's always builds up during the week. Like that one's not weird, right? I definitely have a show movie list though. Like I have that. I could show it to you right now.
A show/movie.
Yeah,
list?
Like hey, I'm going to write this down as some shows I want to watch.
Well, you know?
I even break it up. There's dramas. There's comedies.
Oh my God, it's like 30 deep. All right. Well, someone recommended this. I apologize because I don't remember who recommended this the other day on Twitter. But I got on the old Netflix yesterday. You know, Untold, that series of sports documentaries.
Yeah.
So their latest one is the Gilbert Arenas Javaris Crittenden.
Oh my gosh! Okay, please.
Incident.
Well, I mean, I don't want to say no spoiler alerts because we kind of know what happens, but yes. Be careful because this is the top of my list on documentaries. I've been looking forward to this one.
It is fantastic. I thought. Why is it fantastic? It's not the most amazing story of all time. It's fantastic though because it's the first deep dive into that situation. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, when Gilbert Arenas and Javaris Crittenden both played for the Washington Wizards.
Which I'll push back a little bit. It was a ridiculous story.
It was, but I think there's probably a portion of the audience that is today that's like, what are you talking about? Because this is like, what? This is like 17 years ago. I mean, it's a long time ago. So when Arenas and Crittenden were both with the Wizards, there was an incident where both had guns in the locker room. And what ended up happening is they both ended up getting 50 game suspensions. And in the case of Crittenden, his life spiraled from there. And anyway, they have both Arenas and Crittenden on the show talking very sincerely and in depth. And I thought they were both great. They were both now so many years later talking about it. And it was, how can I put this? It was just such a sad tale.
It's terrible.
So sad how the immaturity and even they would admit this, the stupidity and the egos of young guys lead to just what was just a personal tragedy for Crittenden.
It's sad.
And not only a personal tragedy for Crittenden, I should say the bigger thing is that he killed somebody.
Yeah.
He killed somebody.
And
I won't spoil any more, but then there's even more tentacles to that because he's out free now.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching it. I'll leave it at that.
I mentioned this the other day. I was friends with his ex-girlfriend too, so I knew her perspective on the whole thing too.
The incident itself, like when it happened, like the stories that came out right after it was just one of the craziest locker room stories you'll ever hear.
Everyone was a loser in that story.
Yes,
everyone. Let's talk some. But I recommend that highly. Untold on Netflix. Let's talk some baseball. Paul Sporer joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Sporer. Sporer. He works at FanGraphs, and of course, the name of the podcast, Sleeper and the Bust. How you doing, Paul?
Gil, I'm well. How about yourself?
Doing very well. I want to ask you a couple things. One, the San Francisco Giants, don't look now, as they say, but the San Francisco Giants are one game out of first place in the National League West. This is incredible. This is after the Dodgers got swept by the Angels and the Padres got swept by the Mariners. And then the Giants do Giants magic things, and they win ball games. By the way, did you see that game the other night? Wilmer Flores had a grand slam, a 3-run homer, and a solo shot against the Athletics the other night. The question is very simple. Would you bet the San Francisco Giants to win the National League West? And I'm getting the number here as we speak. I was too busy telling the
plus 1875. No, I'm just kidding.
No, that's not great. 12 to 1 on the Giants. Nice chance though. He's just making up numbers.
No.
Kelly's just going to make up numbers.
The Dodgers price is just ridiculous and everything.
Well, the Dodgers are -450. The Padres are 8-1 and the Giants are 12-1. By the way, it should be mentioned the Diamondbacks, who are a few games back, are 11-1. What's the bet? If I said you must make one bet, what's the bet?
Probably the Diamondbacks or the Padres for me still. You know, I'm not going to hate on your Giants. I have a history on this channel of not being as pro Giants, even in the midst of their good seasons, because as is typical with the Giants, it doesn't look like it jumps off the page. You know,
that's
it doesn't
really
jump off the page of like, oh my God, this is such an amazing team. But I've learned, you know, it only took, 4 or 5 years of them playing very well like this without a great team on paper. But no, I do think they have a lot of things working for them. They finally moved Jordan Hicks out of the rotation for Hayden Birdsong. I don't even know why they went back to the Jordan Hicks as a starter thing this year. Things are a little bit wobbly at times with Ryan Walker, but you got Camilo Duvall pitching a lot better this year. The offense is exciting. I love Jung-Hoo Lee and kind of the element that he brings to the team. It is such a deep, difficult division, though, that push come to shove, I still can't get there for a division bet. Now, they might hang around. They might win it. But if you're asking me where I got to put my money today, it's got to be on any of the other three. And I'm probably going to go Diamondbacks, Padres, you know, more than the Dodgers right now, just because they lose a new pitcher every week. But yeah. I'm sorry. Am I hating your Giants too much? I can't do it.
That's why I asked the question. And I'm with you on the Padres, man. Like, as soon as I don't have a bet on them, I'm sure they'll put it all together. But as long as I have a bet on them, it's like, oh, the relief pitching sucks all of a sudden. Oh, the manager doesn't know how to manage the starters all of a sudden. or take out a relief pitcher. Oh, the offense can't get a hit to save themselves with runners in scoring position. They're in that rut right now. But I'm sure it will all come together because there's too much talent on that team. Let me ask you about this. So Mark Borchard, you know our buddy Mark Borchard, base winner. Mm-hmm. He and I do this derivatives pod. Q1, Q2, Q3. We go through all these betting stats. And last year, the biggest thing, the sort of the headline of what was uncovered was that the White Sox, while sucking royally, epically, right, and only winning 41 games last year, they were actually like a top five first five inning team betting wise. So it was this amazing thing where, you know, because a lot of that had to do with the fact that they were big dogs, but they would manage to stay ahead through five. Now, it's not as big of a, it's not quite in that direction this year, but it's almost the same thing. They were fifth first five when we did the podcast a week ago. They're ninth currently, but they're only like a few dollars away from being fifth as the ninth most profitable first five-inning team in baseball. And once again, the White Sox having a terrible year. They're 14-33, not as bad as last year, but you get the idea. And my question to you is this something that bettors should believe is a sustainable thing again, that they might be profitable first five and then still result, but in games that will still result in them losing? Because there's two betting implications here. One is you could bet them in game knowing this. And two, there are certain sports books that offer something called a double result, a win first five and a loss full game, which is at really nice odds. So sustainable or not?
There is a tinge of sustainability here to this with the White Sox, because the hallmark of a bad team is always going to be a wretched bullpen. And, you know, the worse the team, generally the worse the bullpen. They've got a little bit of a vibe going with the starters. You know, Shane Smith's been a real big standout Rule 5 guy from Milwaukee. And then guys like Jonathan Cannon, Davis Martin, not so much Sean Burke, even though there was some expectation for him coming into the year. But they've gotten some decent starts. So I see how this works and the way it did last time. Because, again, catastrophically bad bullpen is usually why you have a terrible, terrible team. So, but the only reason I have a little bit of skepticism is because despite, you know, at times looking decent as a starter, they don't miss bats. And so, you know, that's the part that scares me with it, with their starters, is they're not dominant. Shane Smith is the closest one to it. But if you're going to look for a positive, a little bit of a silver lining with the White Sox, I do think that their starting pitching is probably the best element of that team, and they could add some guys in season from the minors too, so there might be a little something there. I mean, I wouldn't go crazy on it, but I would certainly keep tabs on it with the White Sox.
The other thing, Kelly, we were talking about the golf thing, how they wouldn't let us in on Scheffler. Last year, you used to be able to get that double result on the White Sox at about 7-1 on average. Of course, the odds aren't as good this year.
Oh, they lowered. I can't believe this is happening.
It's incredible. DFS on the way out, please. What do we got today?
So today, I mean, we actually have a pretty interesting board because there's not a ton of studs. In fact, one of the best, Christopher Sanchez, is at Coors. My number one guy today is actually going against the Giants. Chris Bubich, I love everything he's doing this year. That's less against the Giants and more positive Chris Bubich. I like Nick Lodolo to trying to get right at Pittsburgh. Robbie Ray, the other part of that SF Giants game. And then as far as guys that you're picking on, Edward Cabrera with Cubs, Dean Kramer with Brewers, Colton Gordon with Rays.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it very much. Paul Sporer.
Thanks, Gil. Take care.
Coming back with that NBA playoff challenge update.